During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
We'll hear Andy Reid, we'll hear Patrick Mahomes, we will hear Chris Jones at the podium today talking about this Bengals team and the matchup. What are they going to do? Also, Chiefs with their practice squad signings. I'm sure Andy Reid will be asked about that, and he'll say that Veach does a great job taking care of all of those things, and you know, and we'll just see what we have. Melvin Gordon, Brian Williams, or Brian Edwards, and Brandon Williams. So running back, wide receiver, and defensive tackle, and Melvin Gordon, which is a conversation that we still need to get into as to how impactful that is or connected to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, either injury or ineffectiveness. Edwards is an interesting receiver because, man, he makes some acrobatic catches, yet two teams have said, nah, we're good, and he's on the practice squad for a reason. Brandon Williams, to me, is a direct connection with Derek Nnadi. I feel like that is Brandon Williams is a run stopper. He has been that his entire career. He's got the connection with Joe Cullen, and he's graded out pretty well. Last couple years, I think he's, you know, fallen off. But he's waited and waited, and Ndamukong Suh just signed, and he's gone the route of Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, Brandon Williams. He signs with the Chiefs. He is a run stopper. I think that is they aren't getting out of Derek Nnadi what they thought they were going to get out of Derek Nnadi this year. They need somebody to either add depth or maybe eventually grow into the role of just simply playing instead of number 91 being out there and playing for the Chiefs.
And again, remember, I mentioned Tershawn Wharton. He's on IR. Obviously, yeah. His season is permanently over this year. He's not going to be one of the return candidates. And you have the other rotation of big men they added this offseason, Taylor Stallworth, Danny Shelton. Mm-hmm. Those guys have been real non-factors. And the main thing, I think, in a Steve Spagnuolo defensive line is that there's always going to be a rotation. What percentage of defensive snaps would you guess Derek Nnadi has played for the Chiefs this season? I'll tell you that Chris
35?
Jones...
35% maybe?
No. Stupid.
Sorry.
35.31. So... You're so dumb and so far off.
Wow, that was a total shot in the dark,
but,
I promise
hey,
you.
Hey, you got
it. I haven't looked at Derek Nnadi's, you know, snap count this year.
If you would have said 36, I would have believed you. But you said 35, I was like, did you get it up on your iPad before
looking at Brandon Williams' PFF grades,
actually.
It's
incredible. But so, Chris Jones has played 84% of the Chiefs' defensive snaps this year.
Yeah.
But on the interior, guys, beyond that, 35 for Nnadi, just under 35 for Colin Saunders. Mike Dana obviously has been hurt. He's around that level as well. Turk Wharton played 20% of the snaps of the year, obviously still including the ones he's missed. There's always going to be a rotation. There's always going to be a depth need. Taylor Stallworth's played 43 defensive snaps for the Chiefs this year. Any more depth they can add, fresh legs, especially late in the season, that's valuable.
Here's Andy Reid.
All right. As far as injuries go, Juju's sick today, so he won't be there. McKinnon has a hamstring strain. He won't practice today. And then Tony is getting better, but won't practice today. Everybody else will be out there rolling. Look forward to the challenge of playing Cincinnati. We know they're a heck of a football team. And we'll start today getting ready for them. So it'd be good to get on the practice field. With that, time's yours.
Coach, I know you try to put games away from the past, but you guys had a couple of tough ones against him last year. A few months ago, I remember Chris talking about it. These are the kind of games that drove him in the offseason. Does it drive you when you play a team like this again?
Well, it was the last game of the year, you know. So, I mean, you remember the game, and they did some good things, you know, against us. And so I'm not saying it drives you, but you go back and you evaluate the game, yeah.
What do you see differently out of last year? I mean, Ja'Marr Chase maybe plays this weekend, but what do you see differently that they've done that this year that as opposed to when you played twice last year?
Yeah, well, they're doing a good job. I mean, it's kind of the same stuff they've been doing. They've got most of their guys back. They're playing at a high level. The games that they have lost, they lost just by a few points, with the exception of the Browns. And it's very, very similar. Good, solid football. Both sides of the ball and special teams.
And when you look back at last year, you know, how the second half kind of, I wouldn't say confused you, but took you for a loop, if you will. But how much did you learn from that game that you took into this year, knowing, like, the lessons learned from that game? How much could you take into this year, knowing that the defense they played was something that kind of caught you off guard? And you've been able to do very successful against this year.
Yeah, you know, and they played the first half, too, so a bit, you know. But they did a good job with it. I mean, that's what they did. They dropped eight and played man coverage and had a thief player rolling around in there, and they executed well, better than how we did. We didn't do very well with it, so they got us on, you know. But we've worked on it. I'm sure they've worked on new things, and we'll see how it goes.
And there were guys before and after the Tampa Bay game that made it very clear how much what happened in the previous game motivated them for that contest. Some opportunity, obviously, this Sunday. How do you manage when guys are already motivated because of the previous game but not trying to lose sight of how things may change in this matchup?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it was the last game. So you love to have an opportunity to play them and do better than what we did. I mean, that's for sure. If something motivates you, that's kind of it. But you also know within, you got to play within yourself and do the things that you know are right and be able to, don't get so high that you can't execute. So that's the trick there.
Andy, Patrick said that he mentioned, or I guess it was just after Sunday's game, he mentioned that his lesson from that game was to close out games. I'm wondering if throughout a season you use a game like that and sort of remind the guys of something like that.
Yeah, well, each one of these things is a learning lesson, right? Win or lose. You come out and you spend all these hours dissecting what you could have done better. And it doesn't matter the game. So you're taking lessons out of each game. This one was, with Pat, for Pat, that's what it was, what he said. So, but everybody's got that. You know, Chris said, I missed a sack. Bolton said he had two interceptions that he dropped. I look in the mirror and I go, there are some calls I would have liked to have had back. Right? I mean, so everybody has that. As long as they're willing to admit it, you have a chance to get better. And that's kind of the thing you try to do.
Coach, your catching the ball has always been, you know, with your running backs. And you said one time, if you're going to be a running back on this team, you got to catch the ball. We hadn't really seen that out of Pacheco. We saw it this week. I mean, he's a young guy, right? Obviously, sure. It's a work in progress. But how's that coming along, and how satisfying was it to see him, you know, make an impact with that?
Yeah, so, I mean, Saran, he's got really good hands. He just hasn't had that ton of opportunity. But he will. As time goes on here, he'll get more opportunities to catch the ball. He did a nice job on that one, for sure.
And you and Eric talked about it, like him having patience. You know, we can see how hard he wants to hit the hole, but maybe he needs to be a little more read what's going on. Is that magnified even more in the passing game with some of the option routes and different ways you guys do things? That wherever he is as a runner, maybe he's even that much further back as a receiver?
Yeah, no, he's done good with that. He actually does well with the routes and his patience on that. The running is getting better. I mean, he's getting better at that. He's got some kind of energy now. I mean, if I had that energy, I'd be 110 pounds. I mean, you know, I want to borrow some. So he's unbelievable that way, how he plays. And he's that way every day. I mean, that's how he's out of practice and everything else. He's got quite a motor.
Running backs, Melvin Gordon signed to the practice squad. When you sign a former two-time Pro Bowler to the practice squad, what are you hoping to get out of him as down the stretch of the season?
Yeah, well, we'll just see. I mean, that's kind of the way we explain it to him. We'll see where this thing goes and where he's at and where the running back situation goes. But he sure has been a heck of a player in the league. I mean, he's One thing we do know is we know him, whether he's with the Chargers or, you know, with Denver. So we know what kind of player he is, and so, you know, maybe there's a time here he can help us too. So, well, we're, you know, we take all comers. You know, if you had some game left in you, we'd bring you over, Herbie. Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, we'd bring you over. Yeah.
Could you briefly mention the Chris Jones almost sack, and maybe that's the biggest difference defensively for you guys this year? You've exceeded the sack total. Just how much confidence can that give you going into a game where you're getting home this year?
Yeah, we've done better in that area, finishing sacks. This kid is unique that we're playing. I mean, he's strong in the pocket, and so it presents another challenge. And, you know, our guys will work on that this week and make sure – that they have a plan for that.
A couple more guys.
Andy, yeah, you also added Brandon Williams to the practice.
Yes.
Are going to. Was there a need for a player like that, or did you just you guys just see a good player and say let's bring him in?
Yeah, good. I'd tell you, a good player. He and Joe Cullen have history. Yeah. So Joe speaks very highly of him, and still thinks he can contribute. So he's been doing it a long time. But we welcome that. He's a great kid and good football player.
We'll go last through, go through, and then we'll come this way.
Coach, Patrick, obviously welcomed the new addition to the family. I know it's not his first. That's Davis who had kids, the first one, the big jolt, right? So he's probably a little more prepared for it, but does that take away, you know, preparation time with all that going on?
Yeah, no, he stays pretty focused on job at hand. He's got a great wife that gets all that. She was an athlete too. So, bronze. I love it. Bronze. Patrick Mahomes the third, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good. So bronze, I think, is in good hands. And you know, the players all got on Patrick that, you know, if they play long enough, they'll get a. We'll have another quarterback here.
Last two. Little news yesterday, you guys got flexed out of prime time to earlier in the day next week against Denver. Probably doesn't break your heart to get home a little earlier and get some prep work on. Is that safe to say?
Yeah. I was okay with it. Yeah. I was okay. I have no decision-making part of that, but or for that, but I'll take it.
Last one, Sam.
Sorry to bring up the sensitive thing again, but when the game is the last game of the year, I guess you don't have the full next week to sort of go over the things you're mentioning. So does it pop up this year, or do you just assume that the lesson was ingrained last year?
Yeah, you're saying with the players.
Yeah. Just with you talking to the players, anything of that nature.
Yeah, well, I come in and look at the tape, and then I talk to them, you know, before they leave. Most of them saw it too, somewhere there, either on the plane ride back or soon after that. With these iPads, I mean, they all have them. So, but we talked about it. Yeah, it was a open conversation about it, and we knew what we needed to do to better ourselves for that situation. I mean, every game's different, so we're going into this same team, but they'll have something different for us. But yeah. But if you use it to get better, then that's the objective. A lot of guys weren't here, so they just watch the tape and see what we did.
All right, there you go. There's Andy Reid, and they get ready for the Bengals. A big one coming up this weekend. A lot of talk about that last game that they played, and how much do you go back and look at that? How much do you take from that? Do the players, are they watching film from last year's game? Are they just simply getting ready for this year's game? An open discussion about that around that game. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
How about the last 48 hours been for you, and congratulations.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's cool. Obviously, it's awesome to bring in a son, dad to my family, and everything went great and everything went smooth. And Brittany's a champ, so it's been really cool.
Can you give us some insight on the bronze and kind of theme going here and where all that comes from?
Yeah, when me and Brittany, we when we had Sterling, we didn't know if it was a girl or boy at first, so we started thinking of girl and boys' names, and we wanted, obviously, them to have that connection and them to be brother and sister forever. And so, obviously, I've always wanted to do Patrick LaVon Mahomes III. I've thought about that since I was literally like 5, 6 years old, and I always thought it was going to be Trey as the third, because you hear a lot of people doing that. And my brother Jackson, whenever we were trying to find something that was a little unique and different, he said, "What about bronze? It fits perfectly with Sterling." And we went with that, and I think it works out well. And he can have his own thing now, where he's not Patrick, he's bronze. Even though he's Patrick, and then Sterling and Bronz can have that connection moving forward.
Patrick, how much do you think that meant to your dad, just to kind of keep that going?
Hey, man, he was emotional for sure. I mean, my dad, as he's gotten older, has gotten a little bit more emotional, I think, as all of us do. He was here this weekend, so it worked out perfectly that my family got to see him before they left and went back to Tyler. It was cool to see him, and my grandpa was here, and my grandma. On my mom's side, so I had a lot of family in, so it worked out perfectly that weekend.
The players were Andy was the players, right? What was it like this, to introduce them to the players as well? You know,
have my family and my teammates have always got along perfectly. I mean, you would think when you saw Travis and my dad, they were best friends, not me and him. So that's just the type of organization that we have here, the type of team that we have here. We're all family in this building, and whatever I connect my family to that, it seems like it's just one big family. I think that's what makes us such a great football team.
I don't want to kill the good vibes. You know?
That's all good.
Anybody got any more family ones? last year obviously didn't go the way you wanted in that game. Like, how much is this game encircled on the calendar for you, and does it mean more than the other ones?
Yeah, I don't know if it means more. I think you got to keep stuff in perspective. It's a brand new football season. Obviously, anytime that someone beats you the year before, you want to beat them, especially in a game like they beat us in to go to the Super Bowl. And we understand it's a great football team that's playing great football right now. So we'll go out there and put our best effort forward and try to play our best football and try to get that win, because it's a big win in the season to try to hold that number one seed and win our division.
Patrick, how often does that game enter your mind?
Not really a lot. I mean, once the season ended and I wasn't in the Super Bowl and I had to watch it from the couch at my house in Texas, I kind of just moved on, knowing that you have to keep getting better. You have to keep kind of moving up forward. And if you want to have success that next season, you can't dwell on what happened the last season. You have to learn from it and just get better from it.
You mentioned after the game, one piece of it you did learn from it was just finishing out games. So are there other tokens you've taken from that game, though?
Yeah, I mean, just whenever stuff's not going the perfect way, the way that we want it to go, just getting back to your fundamentals. I think that's what I kind of look back when, especially when I watched the tape this week, is I was really good in the first half of my fundamentals, and as the game kind of got, we weren't having success as an offense, my fundamentals got worse and worse. And so just whenever you get in those situations, just trying to get back to that, getting back to your fundamentals and trusting in the game plan that coach is going to put us in the right position to succeed.
How much time have you guys spent working on what the Bengals did to you in the second half last year? Not just necessarily this week, but going back to camp or whatever.
I mean, not a ton. I mean, we work on all different type of coverages, and I mean, it wasn't like they did anything that was that much different from the first half than they did in the second half. They put a little bit more man coverage than they did in the first half. They made some adjustments of trying to be in the right spots. But at the end of the day, we have to execute at a high level, and I trust that our guys are going to win versus man coverage. And if I can execute and throw the ball in the right spot, we'll find ways to have success. So just kind of like I said, getting back to the fundamentals and getting back to just being who I am.
Their receiver, Tyler Boyd, compared you and Joe Burrow to the old Brady Manning rivalry. Just when you hear something like that and looking at Joe, just what a competitor is he compared to, you know, you guys and your little rivalry here?
Yeah, I mean, I have a ton of respect for Joe. I mean, he's a great, great football player, but he's a competitor. Like you said, I mean, those are the guys that win in this league or guys that compete. I hate to compare to Brady and Manning because they won so much and put up so many stats, and I feel like that's something that you do at the end of your career when they look back and see all the success that you have. But I know it's just like a lot of these guys. I know I'm going to play this guy for a long time. He's a great competitor, so he's going to be a great football team for a long time, and we're going to have games like this. And so I just try to go out there and win the week, and I know he does the same, and we see what happens at the end of the week, and you move on to the next.
Patrick, on a non-Bengals question, Patrick, I know early in the year you were talking about how much you thought maybe you would use your legs more as the season moves along. With the new receivers, I just wonder how much are you sort of anticipating getting out of the pocket a little bit more and obviously using that to your advantage?
Yeah, I honestly don't think about running until like I have to. I think that's a good thing and a bad thing. But I try to do whatever I can to throw the ball down the field. But with all the coverages that we're getting, and they're trying to take away guys and man coverages and putting people out there to stop all the receivers that we have, it's kind of opened up those lanes. Yeah, I just try to use them whenever it's there and not try to overdo it. I know they had a good plan last year where they were kind of spying me, the Bengals did, so I'll have to make sure I account for that as well. But it's just trusting your guys up front to protect, and then us making plays downfield, and I'll give those guys chances too.
Even with your fundamentals, is it still more fun to throw out of the pocket than the traditional three-step, five-step, and get it out of your hand?
I don't know. As I've gotten older, I've started to like throwing from the pocket more. So I don't know if it's just because I've gotten a little bit older and understand a little bit more. But when I was younger, I'd like to scramble around and make a ton of different throws, and I can still do it. But if I can throw from the pocket these days, I'm just going to throw it from there.
Patrick, you mentioned not dwelling on things earlier. Sky Moore had a difficulty getting the drop on the punt, and you know, you could hear the crowd kind of got after him a little bit. You guys on offense though went right to him. Is that something that you saw that and said, I'm going to get him into the game? He obviously had a very good game then catching the ball. Is that something you said? Does Andy say that to you? Is it Eric, somebody talking in your headset saying, let's get him involved and get the ball, or did it just work out that way?
I think it just worked out that way, but I think EB and Coach Reed do a good job of whenever stuff like that happens, scheming up stuff or calling those plays that might have him as one of the primary options. I just go through my reads and throw it to the guys that are open. That's the thing in this team is we're not dwelling on that. We know the guys here are competing. They're doing whatever they can to put everything on the line. And if something happens bad, we know the next time you get a chance, you're going to make a play happen. And that's what great teams do, and that's what great players do.
You mentioned, Sam, maybe losing some fundamentals at the end of the second half last year in that game. Is that something you feel while it's happening or something you see on tape? Do you have any safeguards, someone watching to kind of give you a little cue to say, look out for this if that's happening during a game?
I think it's something that I've gotten better at recognizing as my career has gone on. I think when I get in some, I don't want to say slumps, but in some spots in games where my fundamentals go bad, I've tried to be better at fixing them quicker because those are things that I've taught myself now of how to recognize and how to get back to what do I think of to get back into the right fundamentals. And having guys like Chad Henney, Nagy, and all these guys that kind of been around me for a while now, they can kind of give me stuff and they can – I don't want to say critique me, but they can tell me when I'm not doing something the right way so that I can get back to what we practice on all week. And that's something that I try to recognize as quickly as possible.
Like a little bit of a mound visit for a
team. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, just having someone that can come out that you trust that knows that they want you to play the best football possible, and they can just give you those little tidbits that can get you back into the rhythm of the offense.
We'll go Harold, Sam, then Alex. Go ahead, Harold.
Patrick, this year with the Bengals, is there anything differently, or is it more of the same you see with the Bengals defense and what you're about to face this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good defense. It's a really good entire unit of defense. They're well coached. I have good players at every level, and they've played together now for a long time, so they do a great job of passing off stuff and zone coverages and man coverages, knowing where the other guy is to help. They're a well-coached unit. We know it's a great challenge for us, and we're just going to go out there and try to execute at a high level, and it'll probably be a lot of tight window throws, and guys are going to have to make plays, and that's what happens when you play a great football team. It's just going to be a tightly contested game.
Patrick, I'm sure when you play any team, if you played them recently, you watch a lot mm-hmm. of them with the last matchup. I mean, what is that experience like, and does it differ based on how you play in that particular game?
You learn from it in good and bad ways. I mean, you learn from the stuff that you did good, and you want to execute and do that stuff again. And then you see the stuff that you miss, and you obviously you're mad because you missed it, but you learn from that so you can hit it the next time. So us play these teams a lot now with a lot of these young quarterbacks around the league. You start playing the same teams, and so you learn from it. You make adjustments, they make adjustments, and then you go out there and make adjustments on the field. So it's a great challenge for both teams, and I'm excited for it.
You're going back to offseason, preseason, if you can recall when you do have so many new faces in the receivers room, what are the most important things for you to do to help them get acclimated, to help them feel welcome here?
I think it's just you just talk to each other. You learn that relationship with the guys off the field. And then on the field, you talk to them about how you like things ran. They talked about how they've ran them before. You learn from each other, then you go out there and execute at a high level. And I think that's what we've done is, as the season's gone on, you see we're getting more and more chemistry because we've talked through the stuff, we talked to the mistakes, we talked to the positives, and we've learned how to keep evolving as an offense.
Okay, thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there's Patrick Mahomes, the father of two now, with Bronze, and how about that? Jackson Mahomes coming up with the name Bronze. So See?
Lots of people went like, oh, it'll probably be Trey. He was thinking Trey. Jackson comes in. Bang!
What about bronze?
Metal theme.
What about bronze? And they're like, I don't know. What about, oh, wait, I see what you're doing here. And Briscoe, how long would it have taken you if Jackson would have said, hey, Josh, what about bronze?
I mean, that sounds cool. That's a pretty good medal.
Sure. What
but
about
enough
it?
About where the Chiefs finished last season, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Look at that.
Wow, okay. All right, well, here's Chris Jones.
Patrick, about going back and watching the film of last year's game, I'm just wondering what you see when you go back and watch it and just also kind of the emotions of going back and watching that game.
I haven't went back and watched it yet. I don't watch the few games of theirs this year. They got a completely different offensive line, so I haven't went and visited last year yet.
So it's just specifically because of the change in personnel that you focus on?
Yeah, because of the change in offensive linemen. Everyone is new. I've been trying to get a beat on how they set, how their group is blocking together, so I haven't had time to go back to last year.
I remember talking to you in the offseason, one of these things, and you had mentioned that, you know, the game against the Bengals in the playoffs and felt you almost had a couple of sacks that didn't come through that way. Is it still something that it's on your mind, or is that just kind of off-season stuff?
I mean, it was the driving force for this offseason. You know, you always can look back and push yourself to do something better, and it was definitely a driving force of a lot of plays I left on the field that I think could have sealed the game and put us in a better position to win. But right now our focus is on, you know, this year, winning this game, putting ourselves in a position to where we can go out and compete.
Go ahead, sir. Statistically, if I could talk, sorry. Statistically speaking, you're at your second best sack total already, and as a team, you guys are already eclipsed last year's sack total. I mean, I know pressures, you hear Coach Spags talk about pressures and everything, but to be doing that, you guys obviously focused on something, you're accomplishing it right now. What was the driving force? Why? Because there's not a lot of massive personnel change, right? Why you personally and the unit doing so well?
One person, man. Well, actually, two people. Terry Braden and Joe Cullen. We got some of the best coaches in the building, and we were just very fortunate. We got a very good group, very young group, a lot of hungry guys in our room, starting with the leadership of Frank Clark, Carlos Dunlap, then the younger guys like Colin Saunders stepping up this year, Derek Nnadi, who's been in this system for four to five years, and Mike Dana, Tershawn Warden, you know, a lot of guys who's hungry to show that, you know, they belong in this league.
Chris, not to say that you're ineffective at the beginning of games, but there's points in games where it seems like you really start cooking and it's you're very hard to defend. I guess just, do you know what I'm talking about and what takes you to get there and how do you challenge yourself to get to that point as fast as possible?
It's more so being decisive. I understand that every play in the game, it's not meant for me to make. Sometimes it's meant for me to take on the double team in order for the blitz to get there. And schematically, you know, me and Spags talk about it along the week, how he plans on calling the game and how he plans on using me. And when I get my opportunity to get a one-on-one or I see something I've seen on film where I can take advantage of it, that's what I try to capitalize on.
Chris, is there anything about Joe Burrow that makes him difficult to bring down?
Oh, he's a good quarterback, man. I don't know what you guys want me to give you, all world. I'm not going to give y'all all of that. He's a good quarterback, man. He's a good quarterback.
Couple more.
Chris, Andy mentioned a couple weeks ago that the difference in you early in your career and now is just how much you've concentrated in the offseason on your body and the shape you're in and stuff. I'm wondering what motivates you to do that and how you've seen the difference play out on the field.
A six pack. I've been trying to get this six pack for 3 years, okay? Right now I'm getting older, so the older you get is harder to get. No, honestly, I think it's a huge part of nutrition. We got a heck of a strength staff and nutritionist staff here. Barry Rubes, me and him, we gained a huge personal relationship this offseason, and my goal was to make sure I come back in the best shape I've been in a while. And we focused on that throughout the year. You know, it's a building process. It's a marathon, but we just continue building.
We see you at Joe's. Are the Joe's fries part of the nutrition? Is that part of it?
Yeah,
it's not working for me.
You got to be very decisive, man. Mondays is cheat days for me, so I goes with the half a pound of burnt ends and French fries. They're so consistent, man. That's the thing, consistency with Joe's. Their fries always taste the same. They're always fresh and hot, and the burnt ends, they're like candy. So that's my only time I get to eat beef. So, you know, I take advantage of it.
You mentioned Carlos's name. This is homecoming for him. Have you talked to him this week about what this one means to him personally?
Surprisingly, I actually mentioned that today. Me and him talking, I asked him, Carlos, this is your homecoming. He was like, yeah, this is my first time going back since leaving. And I was telling them how much they hate him over there. Because they feel like he left them when they was doing bad and he jumped ship. But respectfully, you know, he done a lot for that organization. He's probably one of the best DNs to play in that organization. We're very fortunate to have him in this room, the type of player, the caliber player he is. And we're glad he's on our side this time. So,
Chris, you know, there's a lot of guys who've got kids in there, and Patrick just introduces one. And I remember you saying you like dealing with kids but not babies. But how many times have you been approached to be like Uncle Chris, if you will?
Oh, man. It's so crazy because my when my kids hear somebody call me Uncle Chris, they'll start calling me Uncle Chris. So it's crazy. But, yeah, I done been approached a couple times to be Uncle Chris and take the picture with the kid on the shoulder. It's all out of love, though.
Chris, we saw a lot. Last year was kind of a thing made about you playing defensive end, and it kind of, you guys kind of got away from that. This year, no one's really talked about it, but you've had some success out there and done that a little bit more. Is it just a matter of finding the right time to do it, or are you more comfortable at it? Why has it seemingly worked a little better this year than last year?
I think it's more situational. When it was clearly passing downs, I don't think you want to leave me in the read option against Lamar. I don't think that's the best outfit to have, but more so situational downs where I can just rush the passer and be free out there on the end. So,
Chris, specific to one of your newest teammates, running back Melvin Gordon, you've had an opportunity to play against him over the years. What makes him stand out, and what special skills stand out to you about him?
He's a hard runner. You know, I had the pleasure of playing him my first 3 to 4 years. And then I think there was the, I don't want to get it wrong, San Diego Chargers then before they moved to L.A. So, yeah, him and Phillip Rivers was together a long time. And he's well-respected in high regards in this organization. So we're very fortunate to have him. I think he'll be a great asset to our running back room, and it'll be fun to watch him play.
How proud have you been of Colin Saunders and his breakout of sorts, and what have you seen behind the scenes that sort of led to that for him?
We talked about it along the lines of training camp. We used to have our lone talks walking up and down the hill, and, you know, that was the focal point of his maturity. He's grown a lot in a lot of areas, and it's starting to show in the field. You turn his film on now. I mean, he's a complete different player than what he used to be, and there goes more so with opportunities also. He's having more opportunities to play, to broadcast his talent. He was hurt the last past few years, being healthy and being accessible for this team in order to be out there to show your talent. It's a huge thing, so to have him here playing and healthy has been great for our D-line room, you know, his contribution.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Chris Jones along with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Excuse me, Uncle Chris, along with Daddy Pat and Head Coach Andy.
I've been calling him that for years.
So have the Broncos. We'll take a timeout. Excuse me, AFC West. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. Chris Jones said something there that I'm going to read way too much into. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to say it before I even do it. I'm going to read way too much into and tell you what that is next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You know, I went to BYU, so every down's a throwing down. I mean, that's how that goes.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, and Beards. Beards, get the Nobody Cares ready.
Oh,
I'm so doing this one on my own. No advice from anybody.
Okay.
I'm just reading tea leaves here.
Okay.
I'm going heavy on Mexico to win.
Nobody cares.
They're minus 170 against Saudi Arabia. The reason I'm doing that, here's my thought process.
Better food.
That's right. Mexico has to win to advance. Poland and Argentina are playing each other. If it is a tie and Mexico wins, they would have the same amount of points as Argentina. But Argentina's goal differential is plus three right now, which means that Mexico not only needs to win, but needs to put it on Saudi Arabia. If Argentina wins and Poland then has 4 points and would be tied with Mexico, Poland's goal differential is plus two. But if it's a tie, so Mexico's got a chance to advance, but they know they have to be play on the front foot the entire game to really attack to score goals, and I think that's gonna Saudi Arabia can use a Saudi Arabia can't advance with a tie, they have to win as well. But I think Mexico's better. So you've got two teams that feel like they have to win. Mexico's the better team that feels like they have to win. I'm going heavy on Mexico to win. That's my thought process. Probably dumb. Means that Mexico's going to lose by five goals.
Nobody cares.
Now, I can't, thank you, I can't leave well enough alone. So what I've got right now here is that you take the Mexico and the Mexico over 1.5 goals parlay.
That's a good one.
That gets you very close to even money. Minus 110.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You feel good about Irving Lozano scoring? He's plus 175. Henry Martin, plus 140. Oh, Luis Chavez at plus 275, anytime goal scorer. I mean, those numbers.
Yeah, you should go that route.
If Jorge Sanchez, he's plus he's plus 850.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Ali Al-Hassan, plus 1,000. I mean, there's just value all over the place in this World Cup, man.
Is he related to Amin El-Hassan?
I don't know.
Okay, very good. So, Chris Jones.
Saudi Arabia has a guy named Sultan, like S-U-L-T-A-N.
There you go. Of SWAT?
Sultan of goals, hopefully, here, because he's plus 1,400, and I'm putting the house on it.
As you should. That would be my advice. Bet as much money as you can on a guy that's plus 1,400.
I'm the longest shot you can actually bet on for any time goal score.
All right, 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. So, here's where I'm going to read way too much into a Chris Jones comment.
Can't wait.
Reading way too much into this. Chris Jones was simply asked about Joe Burrow and how tough it is or why it's tough to sack him, to bring him down. Because Jones had a couple chances to sack him in the AFC Championship game. Melvin Ingram had a chance. You know, they had shots to go ahead and end drives for the Bengals. In fact, 11 points that they scored in the second half, drives would have ended with just simply bringing the quarterback down that they had in the grasp. Didn't work. He says, he's a good quarterback, man. You know, he's a good quarterback. You're not going to get me to say anything as in like bulletin board material. Like you're not going to. I'm reading way too much into this because all he was asked was, why is it tough to bring Joe Burrow down? Why would then Chris Jones think, you're not going to get me to say something negative about Joe Burrow? Here's my reading way too much into that. I don't think the Chiefs defense think all that much of Joe Burrow. I think the Chiefs defense left that game saying we lost to that guy and he's getting all this credit. BS. No, he didn't beat us. We beat ourselves. We did this. We did that. Why is it tough to bring him down? Well, he's a good quarterback. And, you know, look, you're not going to get me to say anything bad, bulletin board material. Nobody was asking you a gotcha. That to me is Chris Jones subconsciously like, don't worry, I'm not going to say what I really think about me not being able to sack Joe Burrow and what he is as a quarterback.
After earlier being like, hey, you probably don't want me playing the read option on the edge against Lamar Jackson. Yeah. You know, like he gave a compliment to a different quarterback in the same division without even thinking about it.
But as a runner, though.
Right.
As a runner in Lamar Jackson and why he doesn't play defensive end every snap.
Right.
Why he plays situationally and he's been better at that this year as opposed to you're the defensive end. And oh, by the way, go have fun trying to read the mesh point with Lamar Jackson. That's fun. Go deal with Lamar Jackson in space, Chris. Not just tossing the guard or the center or the double team to the side and chasing a QB down right in front of you. Not that. Go be in space. Makes sense. I'm obviously reading too much into that. Obviously reading way too much into that. But anything there that, you know, I heard it immediately. Like, well, why would he need to say some bulletin board material? You just ask, you know, why is Joe Burrow tough to bring down? Because that guy had an 86 quarterback rating against the Chiefs where they had sack after sack and a dropped interception. three sacks and a dropped interception in the second half alone that all three ended up being either an incomplete pass or first downs. The three non-sacks were first downs. A 23-yarder, a 13-yarder, and an 8-yarder. Two of those being runs. The dropped interception by Nick Bolton, dropped interception by Nick Bolton was the play before Chris Jones did not sack Joe Burrow on what was that 3rd-and-7. So all three of those plays, three sacks and an interception resulted in points for the Bengals later on in that drive. I don't think Chris Jones looks across the field and says, that guy scares me. Even though he should, because Burrow's really good and he's playing phenomenal football. That's just me reading way too much into it.
I think there's at least a little smoke around that. I think that's kind of interesting, specifically in that context of, remember how the Bengals ultimately did vanquish the Chiefs. It wasn't because they played their perfect game and that Joe Burrow demanded your respect because of how excellently they executed everything. The Chiefs had a bunch of self-inflicted mistakes. Even if that doesn't really reflect on how they actually view Joe Burrow, it's definitely, as far as I can tell, how they view that game.
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
It's not about the plays they made. It's about what we didn't do ourselves. Now, that's partially going to be found anytime that they're looking back at a game, because you want to figure out what you could have controlled. You want to acknowledge your own shortcomings so you're better the next time that opportunity comes around. But I think there's something at least a little bit interesting within all of that.
And I think it's that specific game, by the way.
Yeah.
Because the first
That's
time,
why that one's in there still.
The first game, Joe Burrow was brilliant. The first game, Joe Burrow was phenomenal. I mean, it wasn't a, boy, how did you lose to that?
Mm-hmm.
That was not the case in the first game. He had, 400 yards and no interceptions and completed, 80% of his passes in that game. He was just throwing dimes all over the place. And the Chiefs were even sacking him in that game. Because I remember talking about that going into the Bengals game of, look how often the Titans got there and sacked Burrow. The Chiefs got there four or five times the previous, game a few weeks before that in Cincinnati. You get there, you frustrate them, and you play a little bit better defense on this Bengals team in the second half. And offensively, you don't do what you did in the second half, and it's going to be fine. You're going to take care of business. You're going to cover the spread, and you're going to be playing in the Super Bowl against either the Rams or the 49ers. They didn't sack Joe Burrow. And as we know, those were huge plays to not sack Joe Burrow when they got there.
Yep.
And the offense did in the second half what they did the first go around in the second half. And they just played terrible, terrible, a no good, very bad half of football for Patrick Mahomes. It was the worst half of football I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes play. He was indecisive. He looked like he lacked confidence. Looked like he was short-arming some. Didn't know, should I run or should I run around? I've got time to throw. Here's an open receiver, and now I just miss him. He missed a couple guys in the second half that resulted in punts that were just misses. Tyreek Hill threw it high, incomplete. Byron Pringle running across the right hash towards the sideline. High and outside on third down. Punt. And all day to throw. He wasn't pressured. He was sitting in the pocket. Boom, there's Pringle. Let me throw it. And just misses him. Those are things that up until that half of football, Mahomes was putting it between the 1 and the 3 to Byron Pringle, between the 1 and the 0 to Tyreek Hill. And then in the second half, he wasn't. So whatever was going on, I don't know. But I don't think the Chiefs left that game saying, yeah, that Joe Burrow, you tip your cap. Sometimes you just go up against an amazing player. Number 9's out there. And when number 9's out there on the field and you lose, there's nothing to be ashamed of. I don't think they left that game thinking that.
And I think this kind of goes back to something I lightly teased earlier when we were talking about how you view this game versus I wonder how fans are viewing this game. Mm-hmm. Sam McDowell just tweeted this a couple minutes ago from the locker room. He said, Justin Reed told me when he arrived in Kansas City, quote, the guys were talking about three games, the Bills, Tennessee, and most of all, Cincinnati. McDowell clarifies three games on this year's schedule when Justin Reed got to town. I think this game is stuck in the craw of the Chiefs, similarly to how it's stuck in the craw of most Chiefs fans, for a lot of the same things we're dissecting right now, which is that was a game that we should have won. And I think this is what really rankles up the fan base in a major way. It's really frustrating to watch another team get credit for something that you feel like your team should have gotten credit for, which I think has led to a little bit of sour grapes. I sometimes join in on it because making fun of the Bengals is kind of fun. I don't really know why. But there's a little bit of that sort of seeking the revenge, but almost because of the vibes that followed it, more so than for the game itself. People don't like the Bengals around here, not because, and not in the same way as they don't like the Bills. Because you don't like the Bills because you know Josh Allen's going to do some stuff you can't do anything about. He is just going to be inevitable a couple of times, and you hope you get him, and you hope your guy is more inevitable. But the Bengals game felt like, not calling it a layup is not fair, but it felt like you had an open three to win the game, and it just bounced off the back of the rim. And you go, oh, we had a great look. We ran the right play. It was right there. We played a better game than that. And there's no one to blame but yourself if you're the Chiefs, which is why you hear Mahomes and Jones especially do so much of that as they did throughout the offseason. There's nobody to blame, but boy, it's frustrating when you can't blame somebody and you watch somebody else go to the Super Bowl. I think that's really stuck with a lot of fans.
I think the frustration is that you look at it and you say, if the Bills would have won that divisional round game, you said, amazing game. Bills are good.
Yep.
Bengals win that one, and you're right. There was some sour grapes to it, fully admit. You come away from that going, they're experiencing the glory that the Chiefs should be experiencing because the Chiefs are the better team and would have earned it. But the Bengals did it. They won the game. You get one shot any given Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday in the NFL, and that's what happens. And you had a 21-3 lead, and you somehow got outscored 24-3 the rest of the way after having a 21-3 lead and doing whatever you wanted to do offensively. And then you couldn't do anything offensively after that. But yeah, there's some sour grapes about it in looking at it. Now, me, probably a little bit more because my Twitter is an interesting cross from Kansas City, Chiefs fans, Royals fans.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then UK Bengals fans that all of a sudden out of nowhere last year were diehards and were like, oh, hey, I painted my face every Sunday since I was 5 years old. Really? You were talking about last year that you aren't watching this team anymore, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Every fan base goes through that.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm probably, a little too close to it when that is the case, which is why I really enjoyed the 15 seed that knocked off UK last year? In the NCAA tournament.
I was so ready to jump in and help you, and then you went to
the Sweet 16 of the Elite Eight. I should know that one.
So should I. I mean, we all definitely.
I mean, it's a freaking 15 seed, which is why I enjoyed that.
The Peacocks.
I enjoyed that so
much. St. Peter's. Got it. I got it before I looked it up. I remembered Peacocks before I remembered St. Peter's.
I was the only thing jumping into my mind was St. John's, and I'm like, obviously it wasn't St. John's. St. Peter's. I knew it was a saint.
There was a saint, and there was a big bird.
The crossover between UK and Cincy fans.
Yeah.
I took a little bit more pleasure in that tournament loss because I knew what it meant to UK fans that took so much pleasure with the Bengals win. Here's where I'm too close to the situation and why this week sort of will bother me and why they're sour grapes is the Bengals have the bragging rights because they beat the Chiefs.
Yep.
Chiefs fans can't say really anything about you're not on the level of the Chiefs. But you won twice and went to the Super, and you're the reigning AFC champions, and you're only a game or two behind the Chiefs right now, and you've got some close losses, but whatever. But a feeling of, look, franchise-wise right now, the Bengals are still behind the Chiefs. But yet, recent results make it very annoying until Sunday, where dadgum they better win. And here's where I say I'm a little too close. So Bobby Strope, the Patrick Mahomes trainer, tweets out after the Rams game, late that night, tweets out, it's Bengals week. People that I then follow that are also Bengals fans jump on this. By the way, Bobby Strope has since deleted that. Not sure why, but he has deleted that tweet. Bengals fans jumped on it and were making fun of it and making fun of Chiefs fans saying, you guys are calling this Bengals week like we're your rival. Mm-hmm. We don't even play in the same division. That's how you guys view us? And this one's really bothered me, this reaction or response by one particular person, and it just annoys the crap out of me. And his response is, that's because we're all they've got. That particular fan thinks Chiefs fans, the only thing we have are the Bengals to talk about. Isn't that incredibly, even if that's one person thinking that, it just, oh, like, no, you're behind, but it's one, it's not true. Because
correct,
they're winning the division,
of course,
and
it's not
they
true.
Also have a Super Bowl championship, which right. they don't have. But just that is a thought process by one particular person, because Patrick Mahomes' trainer says it's Bengals week, and they go, yeah, of course it is, because we're the only thing that team has anyway.
We love doing that to the Broncos.
Right.
But with the Broncos, the Chiefs have won like a dozen of those games in a row.
Yes.
This is why I think maybe the most... The highest ratio of effort to effectiveness in all of trash talk is a one-word retort. There is one word in all of trash talk that I think is the most devastating for only being two syllables. Scoreboard.
Yeah.
Because when you get hit with right. scoreboard, it's very hard to come back from that, despite the fact that Chiefs fans could absolutely, from A to Z, build a perfectly logical 26-part argument about why the Kansas City Chiefs are a better football team than the Cincinnati Bengals are, and why they have been for the last 5 years, and really for the last 20 mm-hmm. years. But, you know, since Andy Reid got to town, at yeah. least, the Chiefs have that argument even through last year. You can say that was an upset, because upsets are a thing that
yeah,
exists.
13 to now, you could argue.
The
Chiefs.
Bengals didn't have a lot before. They had Carson Palmer. So
they were going to the playoffs.
They had it for that stretch.
Marvin Lewis, and they were at least in the playoffs every year. They weren't winning a game, but you know about that around here too.
Right, exactly. We had some shared DNA with the Bengals, and now yeah. again, the Bengals are a good team that is going to cause some problems.
Right.
But it's really frustrating to see everything we saw throughout that stretch of last season. And then the Bengals have an entire offseason of being able to say, scoreboard, we were in the Super Bowl and you weren't.
Yeah.
And all you can say as a Chiefs fan is, yeah, but. And that is the beginning of a losing
really?
Argument.
Yeah, but we beat you twice.
If yeah, but is the beginning of your retort to scoreboard, yeah. you've already lost.
Right.
Which is why I think that this game, exactly. It's why I think this game does have some extra juice for the Chiefs, which we might make fun of the Broncos or. Good God, what did we do to the Raiders for taking a victory yeah. lap? You had to wait till the next time, though, you could say scoreboard and mean it, and then it was washed away. It felt like little brother stuff. The Chiefs care about this game more than the Bengals right now. I think that might be true for the first time in a non-playoff game since Patrick Mahomes got here, maybe. The Chiefs have the target on their back. This game, there really is an extra, like, intangible element for the Chiefs because they don't want to get scoreboarded again. That sucks to feel.
This feels like the Bills heading to Kansas City this year.
Yes.
After last year where the Bills say, all we had to do was 13 seconds,
yep.
and we're playing in the AFC Championship game at home against the Bengals. We would have beat that team. We're Super Bowl champions this year. And now we're the betting favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
But that's the one we want. That's the one we're looking at. That means a little bit more than just one win. Chiefs are betting favorites to win the Super Bowl this year. Right now they are. And that's the one we want to win. That's the one. Even right. though, hey, if you're a Chiefs player, we're the betting favorites. We still think we're better than that team. Bills, last year, walk off the field saying, we don't think the better team won.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a coin flip. All we had to do was not let them kick a field goal with 13 seconds. And we walk out of Arrowhead with a win. We would have punked them in the regular season and beat them in the divisional round game. On their turf twice, we're better. But scoreboard. Okay. We'll show you this year, because we're the betting favorites. We're going to go in there and we're going to win. And they did. Again. Do they do it again in the playoffs? We'll find out. They have regular season scoreboard. Chiefs have postseason scoreboard against the Bills. Bengals have both. This has the feel of the Bills heading into Kansas City, the extra juice for them. Chiefs heading into Cincinnati, the extra juice for the Chiefs. And you're right. For the first time in a while... that it's this is one they've had on the calendar that they've been talking about that they really want. Bills, Bengals, and what was the other one?
Titans.
Bills, Titans, and the Bengals. All teams they lost to in the regular season last year. One team they lost in the regular season and the postseason last year. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Alexa, tell the government that I did pay my taxes this year. Thank you.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards. We'll talk with Mick Schaefer coming up at 1 o'clock. We got shot clock reviews as well. One of the things that we did not talk about. Oh, sorry. Sorry, we need to play
well,
this.
Well, the whole bit is it's funny if it interrupts you anyway.
Sorry.
So that really worked out. No,
can
you should never apologize.
Can we, yeah, can we
no,
try
no,
it again?
Yeah, well, that was actually an accident. I don't have any breaking news.
So one of the things that we did not talk about.
Breaking news, Jason.
What?
From the college football world, a new head coach for UAB. Yes, the University of Alabama, Birmingham. But why do we care about the hire at the University of Alabama, Birmingham?
Is it Eli Drinkwitz?
Because they have hired their new head coach, Trent Dilfer. He's stepping down as a head coach at a high school he's coaching at. This will be his first college coaching experience. But not quite the Jeff Saturday move to Indianapolis. But Trent Dilfer from high school to UAB to be the new head coach there of the Blazers.
Well, I would say that the one thing Dilfer would have going in his favor is how connected he's been to high school quarterbacks for a long time with the Dilfer and the Elite 11 camps that he does. So he does have relationships with some high school quarterbacks.
Yep.
That if you can land one to believe in Dilfer, and I've been around him with Elite 11 stuff, and now I want to go and be coached by him at UAB. And
he's done some quarterback coaching.
Right.
Just that, so not the whole team. But
do I have a better chance of going, if I'm not going to play for a team that can win a national title, so if I'm not going to Clemson or Alabama or something like that, do I have a chance of making the NFL better chance by playing for Trent Dilfer at UAB than another? That would be the one thing early on. But as he gets further and further away from being that guy that worked with high school quarterbacks, does he still have that connection? And if not, and it's not working at UAB, how long until they fire him and say, ah, it's a good chance?
4 years as a head coach in high school at Lipscomb Academy. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. This isn't a dunk-a-palooza quite as much as a, huh. That's kind of interesting.
Well, it's UAB, one of a lot of schools, not one of 32 in the
That's
NFL.
Right.